Given as I'm currently taking a small vacation in the Appalachian Mountains, I thought it'd be fun to share some creepy and allegedly true stories from viewers just like you, who have also had some creepy and downright unexplainable encounters out in the Appalachian Mountains. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we're going to be sharing some allegedly true and creepy as hell stories from the Appalachian Mountains. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's from the mountains or somewhere else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without further ado, sit back, relax, and be sure you've hit that like button, so nothing from the mountains comes out and gets you tonight. I went on a camping trip with my parents, grandparents, and a friend in North Carolina in the Appalachian Mountains when I was maybe 16, sometime in the fall. It was a simple trip where we all made good campfire food and went shopping at small shops in nearby town to get trinkets and to go to those crappy little gem mines, where you can buy some geodes and break them open and polish them to find quartz and amethyst. One night, after we had already made s'mores and went over to my grandparents' camper to play board games, I and my friend had settled down in our bunk beds in our parents' camper to start going to sleep. It was about 1 in the morning, and everyone else in the camper had dozed off, but I had stayed up on my phone playing a video game and texting my significant other. Just then, I'd heard something rustling outside in the brush near our camper. I played it off since we were in a national park, and it was normal for squirrels and raccoons to be messing around. Maybe 5 minutes later, I heard something outside the camper banging the metal ring around the fire pit. I decided to go check out what it was and get my slides from outside in case it was a raccoon and took them. What I saw when I peeked out of the camper's door was what I thought was a deer, bumping its snout up against the grill grate of the fire. I thought it was strange behavior, but I figured it had some disease and decided to leave it be. I opened the door a little bit more and crouched down to get my slides from the ground just because I had gotten up, but it had noticed me then. This deer was looking straight at me, huffing as if it were trying to scare me off. I grabbed my shoes and was getting ready to close the door back, but then it stood on its hind legs and its knees locked. It looked like they were bending backwards, if that makes any sense. It was almost like they were locking in place. I almost peed myself right there. I quickly shut the door and locked it. I got back in my bed and sat there, my adrenaline rushing, trying to comprehend what I had just seen. The next morning, I looked up any similar sightings and only got cases of zombie deer virus. But none of the behavioral effects of the disease included standing on their hind legs. About 4 months later, while listening to the Swamp Dweller channel, I heard a story from North Carolina that shared a story about them going to the Appalachian Mountains and seeing the exact same thing, only their encounter bared a mouth of sharp teeth. They said it was a local legend that most people just called the Not Deer. A year passed, and I can't say that I thought much of it, but as a pagan, I believe the more you speak or think of something, the more likely it is you'll manifest it into your life, or in this case, encounter it. So fast forward about 8 months ago. I was 18 and in college, but I was home on winter break and chilling and smoking with some friends. We had decided to tell scary stories that we had all had from personal experiences because we were all bored out of our minds. When it got to me, I told the story from a few moments ago, and everyone went silent, as we're all spiritualists and superstitious. After telling that story, I kept thinking about it throughout the night. Once it had gotten time for me to go home, before my mom yelled at me for being out too late, I had gotten on the road and drove home. I kept thinking about it over and over, the whole 40-minute drive, and once I had gotten a few turns from my house, I saw a deer run out in front of me, so I stopped the car to wait for them to pass. One of the deer running has stopped at the side of the road and looked straight at me. and it stood up, with the same backwards knees that locked in place. And I stepped on the pedal, and got to my house within 3 minutes, when it normally should have taken about 8. I'd went to sleep that night, and started having nightmares about it, waking up in cold sweats multiple times throughout the night. These nightmares continued for weeks, and it wasn't settling well with me. One day, after what I'll dub my last nightmare, we'd let our cats out of the house to have some outdoor time. Later that day, at 5 or so, we called them, and all of them came back but one. So my mom asked me to go look for him in the woods. I live in a very rural, small town in South Carolina, and I live pretty far out in the more rural area with my parents. You don't really see many people out here, unless they're hunting. So I didn't expect much by walking out a mile into the woods to look for my cat. As I was calling his name, I heard a rustle in the brush a few yards away from me and instinctively turned to look. And there was a deer, baring a mouth of sharp teeth. I screamed and turned, running back to my house. Once I was out of the woodline, I laid down to catch my breath and simply just started crying. I started spouting nonsense, saying that I was sorry for looking at it and thinking about it, and that I did not mean to call it here. I did not know if it was anywhere nearby, but it felt like right now, it was everywhere. I haven't seen my cat again since then, so I just suspect that some coyotes got him, or worse, maybe that thing got him. I don't think about it much now, and I haven't since, but I still have occasional nightmares about it. I hope not to see this thing ever again. So, the only thing I have to ask is, what is that thing supposed to be?
I discovered your channel not too long ago and was hoping I could get some help identifying the creature I saw. For some context, I own 12 acres right at the base of the Appalachian Mountains in Pennsylvania. And I often camp up in the mountains. This night I was camping with two friends and my hunting beagle Judy. Sometime toward the end of July in 2015. I will call my friends Robert and Aaron to conceal their identities. We headed out around noon and made our trek through my property and up the mountain. The hike often takes around 2 hours or so. Everything was going perfect until about an hour in. Judy picked up a scent and ran straight after it, howling all the way, disobeying my commands to return. This was the first time he's done that since I was training him. Robert, Aaron, and I pursued Judy through the woods going off our intended path into an area I have never been. All of us came into a clearing and saw Judy standing completely still, staring at something. I hurried over and saw a doe ripped in two next to a small stream. All of us were incredibly surprised to see this and slightly disgusted, as we have all been hunting buddies for about 15 years and have never seen any animal as mutilated as this deer was. We chalked it up to a black bear but were still on edge. Judy was extremely aware, cautious, and scared the entire time. He didn't howl one time after seeing the deer, and I assumed picked up a stronger or a new scent. I've never seen him act like this in the woods, not even after being face to face with a coyote. We started to work our way back to the normal hiking route, and heard what sounded like bipedal footsteps behind us, keeping about 100-yard distance or so. I forgot to mention, I always carry when I'm in the wilderness. You can never be too safe. I decided it was time to take my Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum out of its holster and stay on guard while I continued our hike. The footsteps eventually faded as we were on the regular hiking route. All of us made it to my camping spot, but the hike took a ridiculous 4 hours. Judy was calmed at this point but obviously spooked. We set up our tents. Robert and Aaron shared a tent because someone had to carry the beer, and neither Aaron nor I wanted the extra weight. We got a fire going, and I cooked up some baked beans. By the time we were finished eating, chatting, and having a few drinks, it was already getting dark. We all decided it was time for bed because we had a long hike in the morning. Now that I think of it, I wasn't even thinking about the incident with the deer earlier, even though I should have been. I woke up at around 2 a.m. to what sounded like very heavy footsteps outside of my tent. Judy was standing up and kept completely still. It was like he was trying to warn me to stay still and quiet. There were no other sounds in the forest, and it smelled like rotting meat. Not even the chirps of crickets were present with this awful smell. A few minutes later, I could hear Robert and Aaron in the next tent to me whispering. I heard someone get out of the tent as they were telling me to stop messing around with them. It was 2 a.m. and they were trying to sleep. As I heard the rustling of the tent, I heard Aaron say, "Holy crap, what the heck is that thing?" I quickly unzipped my tent and jumped out just as Robert jumped out of their tent as well. Judy did not move from his spot in the tent, and I saw this gray creature peering at us from behind a tree. This thing must have been between 9 or 10 feet tall, with antlers and weird concave eye sockets. It wore a creepy thin smile. Its eyes had almost a reddish glow to them. I rushed back to my tent and grabbed my .357. I ran back out and shot 3 rounds center mass. We all heard the most ear-piercing scream any of us have ever heard. It ran off into the woods as Judy whined and hid in one of the corners of the tent. Robert looked at me with an expression of pure terror. Aaron was already packing up our things. Shortly after, we started packing up as well. We got hit with the realization real quick. How have none of us ever seen or heard of such a vile creature in these forests? We packed up our camp in record time. I had to carry Judy because he was still whining and refusing to move. We were paranoid beyond belief and practically ran down the mountain and could hear this creature following us after we departed our camp. I blindly fired 3 rounds into the dark behind us with one hand, as I had Judy in the other. I had to reload and had Aaron hold Judy. I emptied 6 rounds into the forest after my reload. I heard this creature screech one more time, just as ear-piercing and as painful as the first scream. All of us made it down the mountain in record time with only a few slips and falls. It took us a total of about 1.5 hours from when we originally woke up to make it back to my house. We were all very shook up and talk about it often with each other, but nobody else. Judy took it the worst. As Robert, Aaron, and I continue to hunt and spend time in the wilderness, Judy will no longer enter the woods anywhere and rarely howls and barks now. Thank you for giving me a platform to share my story, and I hope that someone can help me identify this creature that we saw that terrifying night in the Appalachian Mountains. There's not much to do in rural parts of Pennsylvania, what some call Pentiltucky. Like most parts of rural America, popular pastimes include drinking oneself into a stupor and driving, uninspected, 1983 Ford F-150s double the speed limit down narrow, rarely maintained roads. I, however, occupy myself when I can by hunting. It gets a bad rap as barbaric, cruel practices, but I've always found solace in the forest. It's impossible to find in the cramped, too close comfort of the atmosphere of a small town. This particular season, I was out in early November, in the forest in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, a few minutes away from my home northwest of Harrisburg. It was late in the fall season, and the steady flow of foliage tourists, what locals call leaf peepers, was beginning to trickle to a stop. Some trees were still burning a fiery red-orange, but most were beginning to wither, foreshadowing an unusually harsh winter. The falling leaves created a curtain of decay which moved like a sandstorm in slow motion, shrouding and isolating me from any of the surroundings and crunching softly under every footstep. I paced through the temple of red and gold, alert for the light footsteps of my quarry, white-tailed deer. My Winchester .30-06 swayed on my back as I walked. The gun was overkill for deer, but it does not pay to take chances around the bigger game like elk and black bear. This forest was new territory for me, a refreshing change of pace after paved trails and subdivisions began to encircle the hunting grounds of my childhood. As I walked, I began to lighten my guard,
losing focus on wildlife and becoming engrossed in natural beauty of the area. And I became so distracted peering at the falling leaves that I tripped over a tree root snaking through their carpet. I followed it with my eyes to its termination at the base of a massive, gnarled oak tree. The trunk was huge, but the tree was squat, blackened with age, and split down the middle as if God had struck it with lightning. This story could have ended then and there if it were not for a smell that wafted up to me as I passed the tree. It wound its way up from the tree's base out of the swale in the ground to the raised path, pushing the crisp smell of the forest aside. My first thought that this was a dead animal, which could mean a bear was in the area, so I circled the tree to look. There was no carcass, but the scene at the base of the tree resembled a homicide. Dark, matted clumps of fur dotted the undergrowth, and a vicious black fluid led from the forest into a hollow overshadowed by a titanic root. The entire picture was punctuated by that same rank smell, a thick coppery scent like pennies mixed with death. I am not unused to gritty, even downright disturbing scenes, but this scent made me retch involuntarily, and the den unsettled me deeply, as though I had stumbled upon something no one should have ever seen. Shaken, I moved back onto the trail, against my better judgment, and resumed my search for a deer. The sun began to beat down overhead with all the clarity of a winter's day, shining a demanding light on the forest and weakening my resolve. I had just begun to unpack my lunch when something began to bother me. I could not put a finger on what it was, but I felt antsy, for the lack of a better word, like I should not be sitting still. Without even knowing it, I began to scan my surroundings for something, anything. I was returning to my lunch when it hit me. The forest was silent, no birds chirping, no insects buzzing. Even the rustle of the trees and the wind had come to an ominous standstill. As the meaning of this realization began to sink in and I got to my feet, two things happened in rapid succession. A sizable branch snapped a few hundred meters away, and an ungodly screech penetrated the November air. I have never heard of a sound like it, before or since. It was as though the earth itself split and hell opened, just long enough to sum up the suffering of the damned in one ear-splitting roar. Terrified, I bolted to my gun, leaned against a tree, and began to scan the underbrush. Something big was moving through the forest floor, but I couldn't see what it was thanks to the curtain of leaves falling around me. I hastily made tracks back in the direction I came, forcing myself to not look back. After all, what animal would actively stalk a human without even being provoked? I had lost the sound of the creature and began to loosen up a bit when I was hit with a bone-chilling realization. The sounds of the forest had come back behind me, but the trees in front were as silent as the grave. Whatever I encountered, probably the same beast that made the mess under the oak tree, had circled back in an attempt to trap me. Truly scared at this point, I scrambled off the path into a rock gully, my back to damp rocks. I crawled without taking my eyes off the path onto a cave, hoping that I could hide in here. I was trying to hide my hyperventilation and chattering teeth from whatever was stalking me. Only a few minutes had passed and I heard the crunch of leaves and a deep, demonic snorting. It stopped on the path above my hideaway, and I held my breath, willing my heart to stop to be completely silent. The creature had begun to move on when my gut, leaning against the rock, slipped off the slick surface. It clattered to the ground, reverberating louder than an air raid siren in the crisp autumn air. My heart sank as I heard footsteps make their way down the rocks and closer to me. I crawled painfully, slowly towards my rifle, every muscle in my body tight enough to burst. I stopped to steady myself and heard breathing, right outside the cave opening. It was choked, slavering breathing, unnatural breathing which inspired visualizations of twisted corruptions of human and beast, a patchwork of demon and animal and man all mixed together. I reached for my gun and came to the closest to death I ever have, because I outstretched my hand, and so did it. Instead of the smooth shellac of my rifle stock, my palm met a course of ragged fur, caked with mud, and attached to a lanky, sinewy arm. The beast screamed, and as I shouldered my rifle and fired blindly out of the opening, I caught a glimpse of yellowed fangs and one blood-red eye, an eye that reflected a hatred more ancient than man, a hatred that said, "This is my forest. You have altered it through your presence, corrupted it, but I was here before you, and I will be here after." Human willpower paled in the face of such uncompromising malice, and I shrank back against the rocks, robotically cycling bullets out of the cave. I sat there dead-eyed, doing this for as long as I could. By the time I snapped out of my adrenaline-fueled haze, my mouth felt like a desert, and my fingers felt as though they were made from canvas stretched over dust. Shaking, I reached over for my water bottle and gulped it down, spilling most of it down my front. Praying the beast was long gone, I inched my way out of the cave and ran as fast as my little rickety legs would carry me 2 odd miles back to my truck, leaving most of my gear behind. Nothing seemingly pursued me, but the feeling of being hunted remained. I drove back to town at 80 miles per hour on a dirt road. My eyes were wide with fear, and my hands gripping the wheel with white knuckles. Unable to bear the thought of my secluded home, I spent the night in a hotel room in town with a bottle of cheap whiskey and every light in the room turned on. The thought of the creature would not exit my mind. Was it a demon, loose on the earth by some divine mistake, or just an animal, a cryptid lost to time and the memories of the trees? I did not really want to know, but I could not, and still cannot let it go. The fear eventually subsided, but as I sit at home writing this, I swear to God that I can hear the howl echo through the trees every so often across the Appalachians, telling me that I may never rest and I may never forget. A few years back, my girlfriend and I, having hiked several other parts of the Appalachian Trail, decided we wanted to give the southern portion of Virginia's trail a shot. It is about 166 miles long and runs through George Washington and Jefferson National Forest from Roanoke County to Parisburg in Giles County. This is one of the most remote and less traveled parts of the trail, which is exactly what we were looking for. We gathered our gear and made our way to the start of the Virginia Creeper Trail to begin our journey. We had planned our journey to end at Damascus and figured that by the time we got there, we would be more than ready to get home to our own beds. It was early October, and the changing of the leaves and colors were amazing. The air was crisp and cool, perfect hiking weather with beautiful scenery. Most of the trip was uneventful, just like your typical hike. But our last couple of nights is where things began to get truly weird. On this portion of the trail, you were supposed to camp on the trail or a designated shelter. We did not really want to run into other people and did not want anyone coming upon us in the middle of the night. We decided to ignore those suggestions and find our own little spot off trail. A little searching around and we found a spot a little way off the trail in the middle of a small clearing. It was perfect. We set up camp, cooked some food, and talked for a while, then snuggled up and went to bed for the night. Somewhere around 2 a.m., I was awoken by my girlfriend shaking me and telling me, "Get your gun. Someone is outside walking around our tent." She informed me that she woke up to what looked like and sounded like someone right outside the tent, running a knife or something along the side while circling us. When hiking, I carry a 1911 and a judge with me. You never know exactly who or what you might run into when on such a long hike in a remote location. I got the judge out of my pack, and then we sat silently, listening for any sounds. A few minutes of nothing but the breeze blowing through the trees, and then I heard it. Snap, crunch, snap. Someone, or something walking in the woods behind our tent. I got the flashlight and silently made my way out of the tent. Our fire had gone out, so it was nearly pitch black, illuminated by only the dim glow of the October moon. I told my girlfriend to stay put while I checked it out. I did not flick the flashlight on right away, to not give away that I was out of the tent, and to have it become a shining beacon of my location. Instead, I waited to hear more noises. After a few minutes, I heard more snapping. It sounded like it was bipedal based on the way the steps were paced. I turned on the flashlight and flooded the area with light. I thought I saw someone move behind a tree. I yelled out them and told them to go away that I was armed. I kept the light on the area with my gun. I had it drawn and slowly approached the area where I thought I saw the figure. Then from my right, I hear what sounds like someone running away through the woods. I spin and face the light that way. And then from the original spot, I hear somebody else take off in the woods. There is no way I'm giving chase, so I return to the campsite. I tell my girlfriend about what happened, and I ended up sitting guard outside the tent in the darkness until daybreak. In the morning, I looked around for signs of who or whatever it was, and I discovered a boot print in the same soft, moist part of the dirt that I just had gone before they all ran away. It was not mine, and it was not my girlfriend's. This freaked me out, as it confirmed that someone, perhaps more than one, were skulking around our tent in the dark. I kept it to myself because I did not want to freak my girl out any more than she already was. At this point, we were deep in and still had 2 days left. That day, we walked a little faster than normal and covered as much ground as possible. When it came time to set up camp, I found a spot near a cliff where we could place the tent in a small overhang to prevent anyone from coming up behind us. The whole day up to this point, I had a feeling that we were being followed. I had no confirmation of this as I had not seen or heard anyone else, but it was just a gut feeling. We set up camp and made some food, then retreated to the tent. I gave my girl the 1911, and I kept the judge right next to me, and I assured her that if I slept at all, it would be with one eye open. After a while, she drifted off to sleep and I stayed awake listening to the sounds of the woods. I was awake for a few hours, just waiting to see if anything was going to happen. At some point, I guess my exhaustion caught up with me, and I drifted off. I awoke sometime later to hear what sounded like someone going through our stuff right outside the tent. I grabbed my gun, woke my girlfriend up, shushing her to be quiet, and from the faint glow of the fire, I could see someone silhouette against the tree. There was really someone out there. I yelled to them something along the lines of, "We are armed, get the heck out of here." They dropped what they were doing and bolted. I came out of the tent, gun drawn, and ready to shoot someone. Our stuff was strewn about. They had rummaged through quite a bit of our stuff. I walked to the edge of the woods in the direction of wherever I thought I had heard them fleeing. There was a creek nearby, and I walked to the edge. There was a small trail running alongside of it. Down the creek, I could see a light. It looked like a lantern the way it flickered, when I saw three more emerge from the other side. I told my girlfriend to start packing up whatever she could, and that we were leaving right now. We packed up everything of value, left the tent and a few other items, and headed back to the trail, in the middle of the night. I kept hearing people talking off in the woods and hearing branches snap for quite some ways. I kept looking back every few seconds to make sure nobody was coming up on us. It was completely nerve-wracking. If something happened, we were still a long way from anywhere to get any help at all. Since we had not seen another hiker the entire time we had been out here, I really felt like we were in danger. We had been walking for quite some time when I heard something in the woods behind us. As we rounded a corner, I turned and saw someone step out onto the trail and just stand there watching us. It was just as the sun was coming up, and barely any light. I could not make out any features, just the silhouette. I stopped and looked at them for a second and asked them who they were and what they wanted, and they just stood there silently, watching us, and then turned back and walked into the woods. We picked up the pace and kept going, looking back every so often. We did not see them again, but my gut told me they were still there for quite a while. We eventually reached the end of the trail and got to where we had parked my girlfriend's car, extremely exhausted. We made it out of the Virginia woods without being a meal for a clan of cannibalistic, inbred hillbillies, which is what I pictured happening in my head that whole time.
I have no idea who they were or what they wanted. Maybe it was someone just messing with us. Maybe it really was a clan of deformed hillbillies who were hunting us. I will never know, because I will never be returning to find out. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true horror stories from the Appalachian Mountains. As I said in the intro, I am currently in the Appalachian Mountains for a small little cabin getaway, hoping to recharge and feel a bit better after some recent health scares. Hopefully, I won't come back with any scary stories of my own. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us and hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's from the mountains or somewhere else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this show going on a daily basis. If you want to support the swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out our merch store. I've got t-shirts, mugs, face masks, hoodies, and so much more for sale over there. I also have an exclusive Swamp Dweller holiday design out right now that will no longer be sold after the New Year's, so be sure to get one before it's gone forever. I think you'll like it. It's pretty cool. If you're on the go, but don't have YouTube Premium, and still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories wherever you go, you can download them for free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And like I said, it's absolutely free to do so. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this without you guys, and I really, really appreciate it. If you could, please comment down below letting me know which story was your favorite tonight. I'm always very curious to know. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.